Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today's topic is all about finding calm in a chaotic world. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I promise to get to the topic very soon, but I wanted to share just an honest story with you before we even get started. If you're new around here, you might not have noticed, but welcome to the show. And if you've been around here for a little while, you know that I've been releasing about 2 episodes a week for probably 8 months or so. In the midst of releasing 2 episodes a week, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, a lot of content preparation, show notes, uploads, editing, and I have, you know, a team to help me do that. But what I realized is I was getting this kind of content burnout. And when I get content burnout, I'm aware that I might not show up as well. I might not be able to serve as well. And that was becoming an issue for me. I was, you know, I have 2 Instagram accounts, Jessica Hoddle and Living Free, Living Healthy, and I help with a couple volunteer projects with content and church content, writing my book. And all of these are good things, but if they're not stewarded well, it's really easy to get burned out. And maybe you can relate to this in some aspect. Maybe you're saying yes way too many times when you know that you should be saying no. What I realized is that I was releasing 2 podcast episodes for vainy reasons, and I was thinking I had to hit this benchmark or do this thing and to meet other people's expectations. And I just had this coming to moment with the Lord of, why am I doing this? And the answer really just came down to, it was about me and it wasn't about God. And so here we are. We are going back down to 1 episode a week, very intentional with the topics and creating the content for you so that you continue to be encouraged and inspired in your own life, in your walk with God, and to pursue healing so that you can know what the truth is in a world full of lies or what the truth is despite what you feel. And today's topic is no different: finding calm in a chaotic world. I read a quote once that said, in times of peace, prepare for times of war. And it's so true. We don't prepare for a battle as we put on our armor to fight. We prepare for the battle before the battle even begins, before we know that there's a battle. And we want to train ourselves the same way. You know, when you get sent off, you're in the army or the military or anything like that, you train. You go through rigorous training of many different kinds to prepare for maybe one day if there is a battle. And in real life, we should be raising up ourselves in Christ, learning the word of God and knowing what the truth is, so that when the battle comes or it feels like there's a sea just raging around us with rapid winds and high waves ready to knock us down and take us under, that we're not surprised by the battle, that we have the right armor, that we are prepared, that we know how to handle it. And I know that there are situations that happen that we might not be prepared for, but we can be prepared mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. When my husband and I first met, we had a lot of open conversations about money and life and what we believed and what we thought was true and how would we handle the situation. So our friends and I, we like to make a joke that we really interviewed ourselves in the beginning of our relationship. And after we got married, or in our engagement process, I really started to learn more about finances and my attachment to money and my fear of losing money. I grew up extremely poor of every single aspect of the word and realizing that I didn't have anything. So when I started to earn an income for myself and create a savings, I realized how much my savings was kind of this safety net for me. And with things going on with my husband and I, and me selling my house and moving and redoing the townhouse that we live in today, there was a lot of things going on. And I didn't learn how to prepare necessarily for the battle. And the battle wasn't against my husband. It was the battle of my mind, of what I thought money was, my attachment to money, and all of these different things. 2 years into our marriage, we were paying off debt and just really wrestling a lot with with money. And we continued to have arguments about money, and he was changing jobs, and there was just a lot going on behind the scenes. And I had come to this conclusion that I will always choose my marriage over money. And I write a lot about that in my second book, A Worthy Wife. But the reality was, I wasn't prepared for that piece of my marriage, of what I was going to experience when it came to money or when the money topics come up. But now that we've gone through a very hard season financially and debt and things happening to our house and life and money getting stolen from us and just all the craziness and chaotic behind the scenes, right? I was able to come through in different times now and learn when we have financial conversations and when we talk about our future and what's going on with our finances, we have a better understanding of how to communicate with each other because we came through a battle we weren't prepared for. So when the times of peace came, I continued to nurture those thoughts and continue to nurture that relationship in such a way. Now you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with feeling calm in a chaotic world? Here's what I want to say with telling you that story is that I realized even though life felt chaotic, I didn't have to respond in chaos. And it took me a long time to realize that despite what our bank account said, despite what was happening with debt, despite what was going on in our life, I had a choice of how I was going to respond to the things that were happening in my life, in our life, in our marriage. I remember saying in that season that I will always choose my marriage over money. There was a lot of lessons that I learned in that season, and a lot of that dealt with money because that was the season I was in. Not knowing where the money was going and the debt being paid off is that I didn't have to respond in chaos. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So for us to feel calm, we have to think about where calm comes from. So to experience calm, we have to think about our minds. When we think about our minds, we have to think about our focus. My focus was always on the money, what it meant to have money, what it meant to not have money. A lot. Again, I grew up in a very poverty mindset. We never had enough. There's no money for that. Just words always being spoken over me constantly with that. Therefore, my focus was usually coming from, I'm never going to have enough. Oh my gosh, am I going to be living this way again? And this kind of this fear mindset. So what we set our minds on will determine the feelings that we experienced based on the beliefs we carry about what we're focusing on. Let me just say that one more time. What we set our minds on will determine the feelings we experience based on the beliefs that we carry about what we are focusing on. I was focusing on money and I had beliefs about money. So I was then feeling a certain way based on my belief about money because that was my focus. So I have four questions that I want to start you off with right away. What are you focusing on that is causing chaos and inner turmoil? Number two, what beliefs are you carrying about the situation? Number three, how much of your day is consumed with thinking about that or focusing on that? Number four, how are you helping or hurting the situation? I want you to think of it this way. Think of all of your chaotic thoughts and all of your thoughts running through your head at once, which may cause you to feel anxious or to not experience calm in any way. I want you to picture opening up your box of Christmas lights. For those of you that have your cords neatly wound on some kind of spiral, A plus for you, you might not get this analogy. But for most of us, we probably just throw Christmas lights in a box somewhere, or even if they are wrapped nicely on, you know, a spiral of some kind, they still get knotted, they still get, you know, mixed up and broken. But I just want you to picture opening up that box of hundreds of Christmas lights and you pull out this big ball of lights, you know that there's probably 6, 7, 8 strands of Christmas lights that you are going to have to untangle. You don't know where they start. You don't know where they end. And it literally looks like one big ball of yarn. Okay, you have this image of the Christmas lights, right? You probably can feel the frustration just thinking about the Christmas lights. That is how our thoughts are. In our mind, when we don't take the time to unravel and process each one or take it into submission under the word of God, taking it captive with the truth. To put your thoughts on trial, is this true? Is this a lie? What happens, especially even when we don't even take the time to write them down or to feel what we feel in those moments, our thoughts become this ball of Christmas lights. They become so intertwined that we don't know the beginning, we don't know the end. It feels more frustrating to work through the problem than to start to unravel it piece by piece. We don't know, again, we don't know where the ending is. And we start to get through one and then we realize there's 10 more knots connected to that one strand. So you can imagine why you probably feel so like things are so chaotic. I mean, granted, we live in a world that is full of chaos, that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't have the hope of Jesus. Right? But our thoughts become this intertwined ball of Christmas lights. And the way that we begin to feel calm is to think about where our focus is. We can take a thought and we need to take the full thought. We need to unravel the thought because it's connected with all these other thoughts and go, what is this saying? Where am I putting my hope? What is stealing the place of peace? My husband's favorite passage is when Jesus is sleeping on a boat. Like every time a pastor talks about Jesus sleeping on a boat, he laughs. Like every time he reads it in his Bible, he laughs. I'm like, are you reading the part about Jesus sleeping on the boat? And he's like, yes. He just loves it because it's comical in a sense of the boat and Jesus is sleeping so peacefully. And we hear this scripture a lot, right? We probably know this. Oh yeah, she's talking about the boat again. But the reality is this perfect imagery of Jesus sleeping on the boat. Some passages say with a pillow. So we can just imagine kind of this kind of comfy sleeping on a pillow. The disciples are freaking out and the waves are starting to get big. The wind is starting to come and they're like, what is going on? So I'm going to read you the passage really quick. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep, Jesus being asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he, Jesus, said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I love the key verse. So that was from Matthew 8, 23 to 27. But I love the key verse from Luke 8, 22. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And that's kind of where Matthew picks up, where they get into the boat and they're, you know, Jesus falls asleep. What I love about this is that Jesus already gave the command that they were going to the other side. He never said there wasn't going to be a storm. He never said it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be hard. He just said, hey, let us go to the other side. Let's get in the boat. The command was already there that, hey, we're getting in the boat and we're going to the other side. And I find this so reassuring because even in chaos, I can look to the command that says, I'm getting to the other side, even if as I'm going there, it doesn't feel calm. It doesn't feel peaceful. I can choose peace and calm like Jesus, right? He's the embodiment of truth. He's the embodiment of peace. He's the embodiment of calm. I can choose calm in the midst of chaos. because he already said to me, you're going to get to the other side. Some of the points from the storm that I wanted to point out is the disciples were kind of saying like, look, you got to do something about this. But it's interesting because why wake him if you don't think that he was going to do anything? And they start to question who Jesus is. So why wake him if you didn't think he was going to calm the storm? But then you go, well, who is this man that the wind and the sea obey him? And it's almost like if they were saying, well, if we're drowning, you're going to drown and misery loves company. Hey, wake up. Let's do something. Are you going to do something about this? And then when it happens, they go, oh, who is this man? Why wake him if they didn't think he could calm the sea? I heard a pastor say it this way. We can only have power over the storm we have peace in. And that was huge for me when walking through money, lies, poverty mindset, all the things with my husband, because I didn't have peace. I didn't have any kind of calm because my focus was continually on the storm, what was happening around me, the loss I thought I was experiencing, and everything I thought I didn't have that I thought I needed in order to have peace and calm. And then we have to ask ourselves, where was their faith? You know, Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. So then we kind of get to ask ourselves, where is our faith when there is no calm within me? Where am I putting my faith? Because Jesus already said, I'm going to get to the other side. He already promised his word through his word that we are conquerors, that we're victors, that we're children of God. That means that if he's overcome the world and if nobody can be against me because he is for me, I will get through this. But the enemy causes the storm to rise around us that says, wait a minute, did God really say? And fear and lies keep us out of the promised land. They keep us from getting to the other side. So we stay in the boat longer than we should have. We stay in the boat questioning and fearful and believing the lies from the enemy longer than we should have, keeping us from our promised land. I want you to picture and think about this of having two piggy banks. You have two piggy banks, and every day we deposit into these piggy banks. One piggy bank is truth, one piggy bank is lie. So one bank is full of lies that you have accumulated over the years through pain and trauma. And we can even say one piggy bank has lies, pain, trauma that kind of make our vision a little blurry. And then we have one side that's full of truth. So as you picture those two piggy banks, the question is, which one do you pull from in times of need? I have three more questions to ask you. I want you to think about whatever you're going through that's stealing your calm, that's stealing your peace. And I want you to look at it from a helicopter view. I want you to really like look at it from above. Try to look at it objectively, no feelings attached, no identity attached to it. Just what does it look like far away? Bigger picture, helicopter view. And then we can begin to go, what's the bigger picture here that I cannot see? That I cannot see because I'm living in emotion, that I'm living in feelings, I'm living through pain. Because sometimes we don't know we're living through those things until we take an outside view or till somebody comes in and says, hey, have you thought about it this way? Number two, what would our life look like if I trusted God with what was making me feel chaotic? What steps would I take and how would I react? So as you're looking at this helicopter view, and now you start to think about the things that are making you feel in turmoil or not at ease or frustrated, what if you trusted God with those things? What steps would you take? What would it look like practically, emotionally, and how would you react? Number three is a simple question, but it's not always easy. Do you trust him? And I have to say that trust comes with relationship. To see his faithfulness over and over and over again, we get to see the trust established in relationship. We trust people here on earth because we've established a relationship with them. We've seen them say something and then do what they said they were going to do. We've seen them show up in our lives over and over again. We trust them because of the repetition, because of intimacy, because of closeness. So do you trust him? And I want to leave you with two practical ways of in the moment, if you're feeling chaotic, because if you go to Google, and I was doing some research on this of just wanting to get some really great angles and understanding of what people are putting out there of feeling calm in a chaotic world. And a lot of them are journaling or going for a workout or doing certain things. And sometimes it's really hard to live out practically, especially if you're at work or you're in your car or you get a text message or an email and you just can't do something to move your body or go for a walk or spend time journaling, which are very common things that people recommend you do. I have two things I want to share with you practically that you can do anywhere or at any time. Number one, focus on your breath. I want you to take a minute, close your eyes. When you start to feel, you know, kind of like your parasympathetic nervous system kicking in, the fight or flight, your heart starts to race, your blood starts to boil a little bit, or, you know, your hands start to shake, or you instantly go to an emotion of the flesh, anger, bitterness, jealousy, resentment, all of those things. I want you to take a moment to close your eyes and just breathe. I want you to just get with yourself, get with God, close your eyes. Don't look at anything around you. Put your phone down and just breathe. Breathing helps slow the heartbeat, lower or stabilize the blood pressure. It lowers stress and it helps regulate the sympathetic nervous system. This can be done practically anywhere. Now, the questions I asked you earlier in the episode, I still want you to do and take the time to do those and answer those questions, because we can only learn and grow and apply it if we do the work. The work is what causes the change as we do deed and truth together. The second thing, I just want you to change your scenery. Take a moment to step away and allow yourself to change the direction of your thoughts. If you're in an office, and I know sometimes it's hard, you know, if you're working in an office or if you're in a meeting, you might just only be able to do the breathing, right? Take a moment to breathe. If you're in something where you're in a store or you get a text message, just put the phone down, leave the room, and do something different to change the scenery, to be able to change your thoughts. But if we get something and we start to feel that turmoil coming upon us and we just stay in that same mode, that same position, that same body language, whatever it is, we're going to continue to kind of fester in that. So if you're sitting at a desk, I want you to get up and walk into the bathroom or go to another room. If you're in your car, maybe getting out and standing or whatever it is, but change your scenery so that you can change the direction of your thoughts. Don't wallow in the position that you receive the information or the news or where you're feeling. Let us form discipline and obedience to the truth, because that creates new neuropathways in our brain. It helps us to process what we're experiencing, and it helps us to bring us back to the present and not take us away from the present, because usually we're living our present from past experiences. So there are your two practical ways of feeling calm or getting back to the now moment if you're starting to feel that chaos, that inner turmoil coming against you. Focus on your breath, change your scenery. Go back and answer the questions today, but really just remember that you can't choose what happens to you, but we can choose how we respond to what's happening around us. Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." He didn't say that in the middle of getting to the other side, that it was going to be easy. There wasn't going to be anything that came against them. He just knew, well, we're getting to the other side, and we can hold on to that same truth today, that we will get to the other side. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today on this episode of just finding calm in a chaotic world. Listen, I know that it's not easy, but let us not use easy as an excuse to stop our pursuit or to stop our action. Let us find the truth. Let us find our breath. Let us change the scenery. Let us know what the truth is. Let's fill up our piggy bank with truth so that when things happen, we can pull out of that and know, okay, here's the truth. Okay, I need to breathe. I need to bring myself back to the present. I need to bring myself back to now. I need to take the helicopter view and look at what's really happening and assume the best. Thank you for sharing this episode. I'd love for you to come hang out with me over on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle. And I also have a free guide for you. It's titled Chasing God and Not Your Feelings, How to Live by Faith and Not by What You Feel. The guide is absolutely free for you. So make sure you head to the show notes below, snag your guide. And also don't forget, challenge the way you think so that you can change the way you live.